Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study where together we study the scriptures line upon line. And God willing, we'll continue in the scroll of Joshua. And I'm hoping for us to cover two chapters tonight. They're short chapters, chapters 3 and 4. I'll open with a word of prayer, then I'll just confirm that I'm coming through loudly and clearly, and we'll get into tonight's study. Loving Father, we pause. Before beginning our study, we want to acknowledge you. We want to acknowledge what a gift it is for us to have access to these ancient scriptures, thousands of years old, and to have access to this history of your covenant and your will. And thank you, Father, that the further we can go back in history, the greater vision we can have of the future. Thank you so much, Father, for this wonderful gift. Thank you that we are together in this journey and that we have the technology that enables us, regardless of where we are, to be able to come together around your word. What a gift, what an honor, what a privilege. We thank you so much, Lord, and pray that you'll continue to bless our studies, bless our growth in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. So let me just confirm, I am on the road as you can see, but I hope that I'm coming through clearly, and I'll just see Rosebud is always first in. Greetings, Dave and Deb, Rosebud, Rick 4, K Feeder, Chaw Jaws, Rick 4, Pastor Murray, Brother Jeff, First Online, Bruce Ellis, JD, and audio and video are good. Thank you. And Griselda and Judy and Chuck. Greetings, brethren. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. It's so encouraging. And thank you all of you who do. And I do talk to many who don't log in, but they're with us. And we appreciate you very, very much. Let's jump right in to Joshua 3 and 4. I'll just go ahead and share my screen. Last time we were in Joshua 2. So we'll just pick up the last couple of verses, and then we'll continue in chapters 3 and 4. And remember, so the spies went and they made a pact with Rahab, and they went and came unto the mountain. She told them, go the other way and hide for 3 days, and then you can leave. And they went and came unto the mountain, abode there 3 days as she had advised them, until the pursuers were returned. So they were, their journey was fruitless. They would have been sure to have intercepted them, but they didn't understand that Rahab was actually in league with them. That would never occur to them. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but couldn't find them. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly Jehovah has delivered into our hands all the land. This was just, what did they say, fait accompli. This is just, it's done. We know God is with us and the land is ours. Truly, Jehovah has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So those spies that went in 40 years ago and said, oh, they're giants and there's no way we can overcome them. This is fruitless. They were faithless, because what these spies are seeing is, wow, God has already defeated them. They're demoralized and we haven't even shown up yet. All the land is ours. And Joshua rose early in the morning and they moved from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. So they are on the verge of inheriting the promised land. And Joshua rose early in the morning, which indicates the level of zeal. So we see that throughout the scriptures. Just an example here, several times we see Abraham rising early in the morning. And this is the case where he's going to be sacrificing his son Isaac. And he didn't fool around. He's just out of faith. He's rising up early and trusting God. We see in chapter 28 of Genesis, we see Jacob rose up early in the morning and again, worshiping God. We see Moses, he wrote all the words of Jehovah and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill. So this phrase, rose up early in the morning, is indicative of the zeal, the commitment, the focus of the servants of God. You know, when we're not truly focused, then we're on our own time and we're sleeping in and we're just not really on point and on mission. These men and Joshua, as bloody and as brutal as entering the promised land is going to be, Joshua is all in. This is that the Lord is with us and we need to do this. This is consequential. This is significant. This is historic. And Joshua's right there. Joshua's in partnership with Jehovah, and he's not fooling around. So he rose up early in the morning. Back to Joshua 3, verse 2. And it came to pass after 3 days, so another 3 days passed. So first the spies are there for 3 days. They come. They tell Joshua he's up early in the morning, and now he's galvanizing the Israelites. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. So they're going through all this whole army of Israelites. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall move from your place and go after it. So it's the movement of the Ark that is signaling to Israel, it's time to cross over. And here we see previously, under Moses, Jehovah went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. So when this pillar of a cloud moved, they knew it was time for the camp to move. Now it's changed. Now it's the movement of the Ark of the Covenant and the pillar of fire at night. And so they were constantly guided by God by day and by night. But instead of this pillar now, it's shifting. And it's the movement of the Levites, the priests, moving the Ark of the Covenant. Yet there shall, so you're going to follow the Ark of the Covenant. However, there shall be a space between you and the Ark of the Covenant. Like this is holy. This is, you're holy, but this is a higher level of holiness. It's not a common, anybody can touch it. In fact, don't even go near it. So we're going to follow the Levites. We're going to follow the Ark of the Covenant, but make sure there's a space between you and the Ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure, which in Canada, in kilometers, this is about a kilometer away. So do not come any closer than a kilometer of close to this structure. And let's just say in miles, it's a little over half a mile away. So just keep your distance. You don't want to be struck dead. So there'll be a space of about a kilometer by measure. Don't come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So this is a new path. God is going to guide the Levites who are carrying the ark. You're going to follow, but you're going to keep a distance. It'll be well out in front, at least a kilometer or over half a mile away. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. This is it. Now we're going into this, we're going into the promised land. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Jehovah will do wonders among you. There's no doubt in Joshua's mind. There's no doubt in the spies that went over and saw the land is ours. So now, Israel, it's time for us to inherit the land. And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. You go first. People are going to keep about a kilometer distance, just over half a mile, and then they'll follow. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And Jehovah said unto Joshua, today I'm going to magnify you in the sight of all Israel. So God is focusing on magnifying this one man in front of everybody. That there'll be no doubt this is the leader. You can't have an army if there's confusion about who's in charge. You can't have an organized takeover of the land if there's arguing and there's bickering. And God is saying, I'm going to separate you, Joshua, from everybody else. It's going to be very, very clear to everybody who is the leader of the camp. There'll be no debate about this. So the Lord said unto Joshua, today I'm going to begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, in the same way, I'm going to be with you. And we saw that earlier when the book opened in chapter 1, that God says there shall not any man be able to stand before you or to contradict you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. This is serious business. And these are a stiff-necked, stubborn people, hard to manage. And there's so many of them. God is going to make it crystal clear. I am with Joshua. You will obey Joshua. Back to chapter 3. And you shall command the priests that they bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the water of the River Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. So this is interesting. This is a time of the harvest. The river is swelling. It's overflowing. The current is strong. And typically what you would expect, if you're going to step your foot in this river, you're going to be swept away. Like the water is powerful. And anybody who's dealt with water, it is a powerful force. And so the priests go first. And they're to step foot in this massive current of water. And they're to stand still in the Jordan. So there can't be any hesitation here. There has to be complete confidence. They're going to step in the River Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of Jehovah, your God. And Joshua said, this is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. These are powerful tribes. These are very established tribes in a very fertile land with great fortresses. And Joshua is saying, we're going to go and we're going to conquer them. And the reason you can have absolute confidence is God is going to show us that he's with us. And this is how. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. So the Ark of the Covenant is going to go first across this river. We're going to follow. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. So this is significant, and this is a moment that needs to be commemorated. So take 12 leaders out of each tribe to represent each tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. So God is not just the God of Israel. He's the creator. And he controls the entire universe. This is the God we're dealing with. It's not, you know, the Hittites have their God and the Amorites have their God and the Canaanites have their local gods. This is the creator of the entire universe. This is the miracle we're going to see. The moment, so this massive flow of the river, the swelling of the Jordan, the moment the priests step into this river, instead of being washed away, we're going to see a miracle. We're going to know that this is the creator that's with us. It shall come to pass, as soon as the moment the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of Jehovah, the God of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. So the minute the priests step in the water, the Jordan is going to create a wall. So the river is flowing down, and as it's flowing down from one sea to the other, the minute the priests step in it, there's just going to be this wall, and it's going to create dry land for the priests to pass over, and then Israel to pass over afterwards. And this is how you're going to know we're dealing with the true God, regardless of what they worship. We're dealing with the creator. And with the blast, oh, so this is now just Exodus 15, because God is establishing Joshua's authority the same way he established Moses' authority. So we see here Exodus 15 with Moses, the song of Moses, when they're recounting that with the blast of God, the nostrils of God, the waters of the Red Sea were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap. It's miraculous. The water just stopped and it was like a wall. And that's the exact same thing that's happening in the River Jordan. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I'll divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I'll draw my sword and my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. So the song of Moses, they are recounting the victory over Egypt, that they didn't do it. It was miraculous. The Creator did it. And in so doing, it established he's the true God and that he's with Moses. And he's, Moses is now able to lead Israel out of Egypt, knowing that God is with them. God is doing the exact same thing now with Joshua, as he credentialized and established the authority of Moses in the exact same way. He's credentializing and establishing the authority of Joshua. Joshua 3:14, and it came to pass when the people moved from their tents, so they're all camped and getting ready to go. Now it's time to go, to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark came to unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of water, what we should hear is they were washed away. It's like as soon as they, who told them to do that? As soon as they stepped into this mighty current, they were washed away. No, quite something miraculous, something opposite happened, that they're bearing the ark. And as soon as they dipped into the, as soon as they touched the brim of the water, for Jordan overflows all its banks all the time of harvest. So it's a very fertile land when it's the harvest time, and the water is just flowing in such a mighty, mighty way that we expect them to be swept away. But a miracle happens. That the waters which came down from above, coming down from the sea above, it's going down into the Dead Sea, and that's the river that's connecting them, that as it's coming down, it rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam. So that city is right on the edge of the River Jordan. In fact, let's do this. We can see they're right on the edge of the River Jordan. And so it's coming down from that city that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the Sea of the Plain, which is the Dead Sea, even the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. This mighty flow of water just stopped. And the people passed over right against Jericho. So let's see now where they're passing over, coming to Jericho. So we can see here, and so they just have multiple sites of Jericho, just historical assessments, but they're on the other, so this is the River Jordan coming down from, the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, and it's just cut off. And so they were up here at Adam, and now they're able to come in close to Jericho. And the people passed over right against Jericho. This is a major metropolitan center, and they're right up against it. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground, right in the middle of the Jordan, in the swelling of the Jordan, with this massive current, these priests who are bearing the Ark of the Covenant, they're just standing right in the middle of it. This is the Creator. The priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground, right in the middle of the River Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Millions of them were able to just completely cross over. In fact, if we were in Jericho, we'd probably be thinking, okay, well, there's no way they can cross during harvest time. We might have a problem on our hands, but it's not anytime soon. Because there's no way anybody can cross when the River Jordan is overflowing. And that's the time that God says, no, you're going to cross at that very moment. So they're probably thinking they have lots of time. There's a threat, but not anytime soon. Here we see them then, they're crossing over. And I just wanted to show the timing. So Exodus 12, we're going to see the timing of this. This is the first of the month, the first of the year, the first month of the year. It shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And so this timing, the time that they're crossing, is exactly the time when the Passover lamb is selected. So they're coming over in the time of the Passover. And we're going to see they're about to keep the Passover as a result. Where are we now? What happened? 317. I think I just missed something. Give me 1 second to get the right passage here. I'll just look at this. Some verses. Just want to make sure we're covering this line upon line. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, just do this, of Jehovah stood firm on dry ground right in the middle of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until everybody passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that Jehovah spoke unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of all the people, a man out of every tribe, and command to you them, saying, take you out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. This is where the miracle occurred. You get 12 men to go and gather 12 stones right from that spot. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. So what's happening here is they're crossing over the River Jordan, but in the place where the priest stood, right in the middle of the river, and it just miraculously, they could stand on dry ground. Every one of the tribes needs to gather a stone from that place. Have a man take that stone, a fit man, have a man who can lift, and then bring that over with you. And the place where you camp that very first night, we're going to establish a memorial with those stones, so that this miracle is never forgotten, never forgotten. So we know we remember the miracle of coming out of Egypt and God parting the waters for the Israelites there. But this miracle must never be forgotten when they actually enter the promised land. And that first night, they're going to establish a memorial right in the camp where they stay the first night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man, And Joshua said unto them, pass over ahead of the, before the ark of the Lord of your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. So of course it's going to be a strong man that can do this, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And, you know, we fast forward to Revelation, and again, everything is constantly centering around the 12 tribes. That when the New Jerusalem comes down, there's a gate for every tribe. So this is significant. And Joshua is a type of Yeshua. And so his mission was to bring the people into the promised land and to establish the kingdom of God and to establish their rest. It didn't happen. He did his best, but it failed. He failed. They failed. Yeshua will not fail. And there's continuity here, that Yeshua came with an objective, and it was to be successful where Joshua failed. It was to be successful where the children of Israel failed. It is to be the Holy One of Israel. And the Bible tells one story. And we go off on these tangents and get caught up with traditional Christianity, because traditional Christians are not reading the history. So they have no vision of the future. And they're unable to tie the vision in Revelation that John was given with the prophecies of Moses, because God declares the end from the beginning. And so what we're seeing here is the mission of Yeshua, because Joshua is a representation of Yeshua. He is to go into the promised land and establish the kingdom of God. Where the children of Israel failed, the Holy One of Israel comes as the perfect sacrifice to be successful. And that success is in Revelation 22. 21 and 22. So he says, so everyone bring a stone, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what do you mean by these stones? What is this all about? You know, no matter, so stones can be there for thousands of years. And the idea is never forget what God has done for you. Then you shall answer them that the waters of the River Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord at the height of harvest, at the height of the swelling of the Jordan. This is what happened. Let's not ever forget our history. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the River Jordan were cut off. And these stones came out of that river, right the middle of it. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Never forget your past. Never forget what God, never forget where you're coming from. Never forget what God has done for us. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. It's like, this is such an amazing start. It's like, what could possibly go wrong? Well, everything. Once they don't fully obey God, the minute they start compromising, then everything goes wrong. And so we go from this incredible start to the book of Judges. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the middle of Jordan, as Jehovah spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. This is good. God is doing this. This is happening. We've been hearing about this for 40 years or longer, and it's happening now. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. So the time of writing, they were there. For the priests which bear the Ark stood in the midst of Jordan, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and passed over. This is exactly what Moses said. Moses is the original prophet, and God showed him the destiny of Israel. And although it's going to actually take thousands of years to be fulfilled, it will be fulfilled. Israel will enter this land that has been promised to them. God will give them rest, and the whole world, all the families of the earth will be blessed as a result of Israel's inheritance. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, every single one of them, man, woman, child, all of them, that the Ark of the Covenant passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. So they just ensured that everybody was over, and now it's now they are on the other side of the River Jordan. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed ahead of the children of Israel, as Moses spoke unto them. So remember, these were the 2.5 tribes, half of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, that they had lots of cattle, and the land on the east side of the River Jordan was phenomenal. And they pleaded with Moses, it was just perfect for them, that they didn't have to cross over, they would take this land. And Moses was upset with them, but they negotiated that they're not going to just enjoy the land on the east of the River Jordan, and not and then their brethren have to do all the fighting to inherit the promised land. They agreed, no, we'll leave our family here on the east side, and they'll be protected and fortified, but we will go to battle with our brethren to help them establish their land, their rest in the promised land. And they're fulfilling their word here. They are coming through, and they're ready to go to battle. Remember, this is a very bloody business, inheriting this land. And they're agreeing, they're doing everything that they negotiated with Moses. About 40,000 men, they're athletes, about 40,000 prepared for war, passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. We're doing this. We've got our land. We're going to help our brethren get theirs. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. There was no doubt. The creator of the universe, the God of the whole earth, the true God, is with this man, Joshua. He is with, just the same way he was with Moses, he's with Joshua. And that was God's intent, to magnify Joshua in front of all of them. And they feared him, as they feared Moses, all the days of his life. Nobody messed with Joshua. When he told them to do something, they did it. In fact, in chapter 1, they were so committed to following him that they said, if anybody disobeys Joshua, they'll be put to death. No fooling around. And the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come you up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, so they have to stay there so that the river stays, the land stays dry for everybody to pass over. Once everyone's passed over, okay, come on out. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of Jehovah were come up out of the middle of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto the dry land. So the minute the soles of the feet of the priests stepped into the Jordan, it dried up. And here, the minute the last foot of the priest steps out of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place. So there's this mighty flow of water that returns the minute the last foot steps out of it, and flowed over all its banks as they did before. Like, this is not the trickle. This is not the dry season. This is the harvest, and the river is overflowing. And no doubt the people of Jericho are thinking they have time, because nobody can cross the river at this time. But the minute the priest steps into the river, it dries up. You have a wall for the people to pass over on dry land. And the minute the priests say, okay, it's time for us to step over, and the minute that last foot steps out of the river, it returns. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. So that's where we saw the reference in Exodus, that this is the day that you select the lamb for the Passover. That's when they were preparing for the Passover. And now they're crossing over on that day. So this is right before the Passover. They're going to actually observe the Passover in the promised land. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. So they're now just outside of Jericho in Gilgal. So let's just see where that is on the map. So we can see now they've crossed over, they camped, and now they're in Gilgal, which is just outside of Jericho. Jericho has no idea what's coming, but here they are, ready to enter into Jericho and take Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So there are stones in the middle of the river, and then there's these stones that he's pitching in Gilgal. Again, it's a memorial. God is giving us this land. And he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. And this we see Moses telling them in Deuteronomy, take heed to yourself, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen. And it's the same thing that Joshua is telling them. Don't forget what your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them your sons and your sons' sons. And this is where something went wrong. Because as long as Joshua was alive, everybody was following this. As long as the elders that Joshua taught were alive, everyone was following this. It's after that, it's their sons' sons, that the compromise begins. And we don't really have to do everything Jehovah says. And this is the beginning of disaster. So we need the innovation and the creative thinking and the energy of young people, but we also need tradition. We also need the commitment of the older generation. And there needs to be this balance between, yeah, there are some things that we need to be up to speed on. There are sometimes we have to change and adapt, but there are other things that don't change. These are the stones that just have to stay in place no matter what. But there are other things that we can change. And sometimes young people think we can change everything, and they push for that, and they start to compromise. And then sometimes older people think, you can't change anything. We have to hold on to everything, just the way it was given to us, which is never going to change. Well, then you're stuck, and you know, Moses is dead, Joshua's in charge, Joshua dies, the next people. So there's principles that never change, but circumstances change, and you have to make adjustments based on what's in front of you. But you make those adjustments without letting go of principles. And the idea here is teach them the principles, teach them the history, so they never deviate from it. But teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Something went wrong, because we end up from here, this wonderful, faithful beginning, and we go into Judges. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until all of you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. So don't forget your history. And we are grafted into this. This is our history. That's why you see the Apostle Paul, when he's talking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about our fathers. He's talking to Gentiles, but he talks about our fathers, because all these Gentiles have been grafted in to this community, to this history. And we cannot have vision. Without vision, the people perish. And we cannot have vision, the right vision, if we don't understand history. Because the vision that we should have was declared from the beginning. Moses declared the future. And we get swept up with Gentile, false Christianity, traditional Gentile Christianity, Greek philosophy, Roman philosophy, Roman paganism mixed in. And we try to build a vision out of this. And we're not studying the history. We're not studying Moses. We're not studying the minor and the major prophets. So our vision is skewed. Without vision, the people perish. We need to understand this is God's intent. This is his will. This is his commitment. And Jesus Christ came where Israel failed. Jesus Christ is the Holy One of Israel to establish this mission, which Moses declared from the beginning. No matter what the Gentiles think, this is happening. So the same way God did to the Red Sea, he dried up the River Jordan the exact same way. One is a sea, one is a river, it doesn't matter. It's the Creator. Until we were gone over. Then that all the people of the earth might know the hand of Jehovah. So this was done specifically for Israel, so that the whole earth would understand this is the God of Israel. And this will happen. The whole earth is going to acknowledge there's only one God. It's the God of Jacob. Every other God is false. So this is going to be known throughout the whole earth. And they're going to know these gods that we worship are false. But Israel has to do their part. And we have to do our part. So that the whole earth knows the God of Israel is the true God. So he says, God did all of this with the Red Sea and now with the River Jordan until all of us passed over to inherit this land, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of Jehovah. Whatever God they're worshiping is false. That it is mighty, and that you might fear Jehovah your God forever. So the purpose of this is twofold. One is that the whole earth comes to acknowledge the true God. And two is that you will fear the true God. And you'll be faithful and true in your service to the true God. Never forget. And here, we're going to just fast forward. So this, you know, that all the people of the earth might know. We see here at the end of the book, Joshua 24, and you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, all of them fought against you, and I delivered them into your hand. So they're just going to learn painfully that the God, Israel's God is the true God. And he's giving them this land. So that is Joshua chapters 3 and 4. And God willing, we'll enter into, now they're in the land and they're about to take Jericho. And we're going to see that in the next few chapters. So let me just check the chat and see if there's anything for me to respond to. And while I am doing that, I'll just remind you, brethren, that I'm in a series on it's called From Scattering to Gathering. So here they are. They're entering the promised land. It is holy land, and they are holy people, and they have to remain holy people in order to remain on the land. Spoiler alert, they do not, and so they are scattered, and they're taken out of the land. And it is God's intent and God's will that Israel be in this land. And that is the purpose, one of the major purposes of Yeshua coming to earth, is to ensure that this gateway is opened for Israel to inherit the land and for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel, to be established in this specific piece of real estate and for the whole earth to know the God of Israel and for the whole earth to come to worship the true God of Israel through Israel. That God will be glorified in Israel. So I'll be continuing, God willing, this coming Sabbath, this series, and I'm saying continue, I'm planning to conclude, but I think it might go to 4 parts. We'll see. I'll try my best to keep it to 3, but I don't want to rush it. I want to make sure we're very clear on the thread of the story that goes from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And Genesis 1 to 11 is really the setup of the story. And the story really begins in Genesis 12. And it flows all the way through to Revelation 22. So hopefully you'll be able to join us for that. And then I'll just look here for a couple of comments here and see. Isn't our God amazing? Amen, Sister Griselda. He is amazing and faithful and true. It was wonderful to be able to listen live. I haven't been too well, still not up to par, but thank you, Pastor Davis, for your dedication. And thank you, sister, for your dedication, and may God grant you healing and recovery. Our brother Nate, excellent study. May we all exhibit strength and faith like Joshua. Amen. Yeah, Joshua is the example. Be faithful, be strong and of good courage. Much appreciated. Thank you, Sister Rosebud. Thank you, Judy and Chuck. And thank you, Christy Romaine. And thank you, all of you. Thank you, Rick, for this is an amazing God that we serve. Let's be faithful. Let's be strong. Let's be people of good courage. Yeah, the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Hittites, these are powerful tribes, but they worship a false God. And it is God's intent to give us the kingdom. So let us be strong and courageous like Joshua. What a mighty God we serve. God bless you all. God willing, we'll see you and be with you on Sabbath. Have a great rest of the week. God bless.